Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel. The text is Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 21. The Reverend Peter Ill is preaching. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from Genesis chapter 3. Now, the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God actually say, 'You shall not eat of any tree in the garden?'" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die.'" But the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself." He said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me the fruit of the tree, and I ate." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." The Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." To the woman he said, "I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you." And to Adam he said, "Because you have listened to the voice of your wife, and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, 'You shall not eat of it,' cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return." The man called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. And the Lord God made for Adam and for his wife garments of skin and clothed them. O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Thanks be to God.
In many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets, but now in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The first temptation started with food. Fruit on a tree, more specifically. But there was more to this temptation than just food. There was God's word, which seemed good to Adam and Eve, and the warning that if Adam and Eve ate the forbidden fruit, they would die. This temptation was about more than food, but food was there. When we talk about being tempted by a second pork chop or that chocolatey, delicious devil's food cake, or anything else that we'd like to put in our mouths, there's a bit of a confession that temptation happens sometimes through our stomachs and in our mouths. It's no accident that when the devil comes to Jesus in the wilderness, the first temptation that he sets before Jesus himself is about food and the Word of God as well. Thinking about temptation today, though, we might not think of food as an obvious starting place. But if we think that food's an obvious starting place or not, there's something helpful about thinking about food in light of our temptations. The devil came to Eve, tempting her to disobey God based on what she could see and taste and think. After all, the fruit of that tree was pleasing to the eye and good for food, or so the devil had said. He didn't appeal to her to disobey God, but merely to use her senses. Be a person, he said. Surely, something as insignificant as food can't really impact your spiritual life that much. Right? A bite here, fruit there, that's pretty physical, mundane stuff. God wouldn't care, would he? All that physical stuff is beneath God, right? Well, apparently not. God certainly cared a great deal when he confronted Adam and Eve about their sin. And the curse that of sin hit Adam right in the breadbasket, saying that he will eat bread by the sweat of his face as he toils among the weeds and the thistles. Growing your own food isn't easy. If you've ever tried to struggle with figuring out when to plant your garden or how to harvest it, you know that already. But the work of cooking and eating isn't always easy either. Daily, you feel the curse of the fall when you struggle with making dinner, even if you don't think of the dining room table as a place of spiritual struggle and warfare. The scriptural emphasis on food continues when Esau sold his birthright to his brother Jacob for a pot of stew. When God brought the people of Israel out of Egypt, their common complaint was that they were hungry and they didn't have food. And then when the Lord miraculously provided manna for them, they complained that it wasn't good enough. They didn't like it. And then there's the commands in Scripture about fasting, not eating during holy days or during a time of repentance or sorrow. And then, of course, after Jesus' baptism, he was in the wilderness fasting for those 40 days and nights. And once again, the devil comes with temptations about food. Would it really change anything if Jesus ate, even using his miraculous power to turn stones into bread? But Jesus responded that life comes from every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, not from bread alone. Eating won't fix your problems. Not eating also won't fix your problems. The only solution to your problems is the grace of God. This is not diet advice. It's not even an encouragement to think about fasting for a part of a day or a whole day or a season either. No, this is a confession that the devil tempts you, starting with comfort and things that are close to you. Sometimes this temptation comes by food. There's a reason that comfort food is a thing. Restaurateurs and cookbook authors and everyday Joes and Jills know that. Food brings comfort. Recreation brings comfort. Money and stability bring comfort. You're tempted by comfort and to flee from the things that make you uncomfortable. That's what Jesus was doing in the wilderness. He was being uncomfortable, refusing the tempting comfort of food for you. Jesus isn't only your example about how not to fall into temptation. Better yet, he is the one who was tempted and who overcame temptation for you, bringing his righteousness into this world. His discomfort was not limited to an empty stomach, even 40 days of an empty stomach. For you and for your salvation, his discomfort extended to the cross, thirsting and in pain. His perfect obedience to God's will and his death and resurrection grant you victory over the devil and the world and your own sinful body and mind. the curse that was given to Adam, that by the sweat of his face he would raise food, and that the dinner table would be a place where he experienced temptation and frustration, is answered by the one who came to say that he is the bread of life. The bread of life came in order to crush the head of the serpent, even when the serpent struck his heel. And he has come to bring you not comfort, but peace. Peace that passes all understanding. The enmity between the offspring of the woman and the serpent is ended now because Christ has come. Christ has suffered and died, and Christ brings you fulfillment and peace as he satisfies everything that you need. The next time that you're hungry, remember that you do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Remember that your Savior is the bread of life, who comes so that you have life and have it to the full. Remember that your belly and your comfort don't run your life. You have a Savior who is in control of all things. Trust in him, because he satisfies your hungry heart. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit kfuo.org/chapel.